Good morning and welcome to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is the place you can get a financial fix. This is live financial talk radio. We do this every Saturday going on almost 7 years. If you need some help, this is the place to call.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, the Dow beats 21,000 and it made that 1,000-point jump in record time. Snapchat's IPO, technically Snap IPOs, brings nothing but talk of tech bubble. We're also going to talk about winning at life in space, Gregory Ricks. You know, we kind of touched on about three different stories this week. I'm going to compile them and add one to that one. And in that theme, we're going to talk about how tech is changing your investing options. Also, in the 11 o'clock hour, the Total Wealth Authority's estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard, is going to be in studio. So we'll have a little additional expertise coming up in about an hour. In the meantime, though, any financial situations, get on that phone, 504-260-0995. You can also send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Also on the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, you can come find the link to our Facebook page and see us on Facebook Live and say hi. And yes, we really are this handsome. That's not a trick. I don't have some sort of weird filter on there. That's how it goes. But listen, in all the options you have, because there is a Facebook Live, because there is, like I mentioned, Snapchat, but these other venues, you can get your news online, on a computer, on your phone, social media, traditional outlets like CNN or WRNO.com. The tough part now, it used to be back in the day, the tough part about investing was getting information. Now you have all the information in the world. Now it's all about cutting through the clutter. And that's what I want to pick your brain about to start off the show, Gregory. How do you cut through the clutter? How do you see when you have two experts supposedly saying opposite things? How do you know which one is either right or you should at least lean towards?
It is information overload. And part of our job is to sift through that and get to the clients what's really important. You know, and you want to take in both views, you know, such as somebody that's going to crash next week and it's going to 22,000 by next Friday. You want to hear both of those views and gather more information. If you're leaning towards one, you're looking for more there that's probably giving you that sense. Like the guy that says, well, it's going to crash tomorrow. Well, he says that every year about this time. You know, it's not easy, but it's when you do this all day, every day, and I can't say it's always in the data, but it's what you take from it and you make a decision on it, because ultimately, do you know? What No. you want to have is to have high confidence in the recommendations or the decisions from the information, and it's constant coming in and sorted through daily.
And then you have all this information coming in. Maybe if you find the direction you want to go, how do you know when to stop researching? Because, you know, this happens all the time when I'm preparing for a show, but if it would still apply if I was researching a stock or researching a company or researching a new financial tool or something to that effect. If I was thinking about getting in the Snap IPO and I wanted to research about Snap, There's more information out there to be had than you have time to consume it. How do you know when to just cut it off and say, this is enough information, anything I have outside of the bounds, anything outside the bounds of this, I'm just going to have to work with what I got?
People, some reason, want to gravitate to IPOs. And if you were able to buy this early enough in the trading, you have some pretty nice profits, possibly. My thoughts with all the data is that you might want to take those profits now before they go away, because Snap, they're not the elephant in the room, are they? Who are they trying to compete against?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Facebook is the elephant in the room. Unlimited resources, unbelievable client base. And what is the one thing they do that keeps their stock going up?
Make money.
Yeah, and Snap doesn't make money, does not have unlimited resources, competing against the elephant in the room. And they're going about it a bit different way. But what do you see when it's just like I go back to Tesla and the big five automakers globally, and they have huge amount of resources and they just build lots of cars and make money. And if somebody comes up with an idea, they'll either buy it, rent the idea, or create some other version of it. And the same thing in the tech world. Let's see. Everybody has cameras. They all take pictures. They can do video. It can be posted everywhere for people to see. What's their one gimmick? Oh, it goes away. They got something else different besides it goes away. The conversation go away.
The filters are cool. The Discover channels.
Okay, and you can't do that elsewhere?
I mean, they have their own filters. It really is that much of a draw, but that's something that could easily be copied by Facebook within 3 months.
And it will.
I hope
so.
And
maybe somebody puts an option and build it into their software. Yeah, I have a conversation. It goes away in a few minutes. You know, there's no trail, and that's kind of the thing. You know, not everybody wants their conversation seen or remembered or pictures, and that's the basis of that. And they've created other stuff, but they still lose $3.26 per average daily user. So when I look at the data on this, this tells me we've got to get down the road to see if they can make some money, see if the stock price will hold. Otherwise, it's scary and it's overpriced based on earnings.
Well, because I use both, I can see Facebook is attacking the Snapchat and their little bit with the Facebook Messenger app. You know how there's a separate app for all these? Facebook Messenger, in its last couple of updates, is clearly trying to evolve toward more like what Snapchat is.
Yeah, I think as far as from Messenger standpoint, yeah, it's a tool they have that's kind of mostly been ignored for a long time. Yeah, we have it. You can use it. It's connected, but no innovation there, and now you're going to see that. What happened to, let's see, you've had other tech companies come out and need ideas, and it goes away because somebody does it better. Well, Fitbit, let's see, what's their problem? It's one of the biggest elephants on the planet. Apple is their problem.
GoPro's another one.
Yeah.
Great idea. Let's have a portable camera you can stick anywhere. Meanwhile, we've got a phone hanging off of this glass over here in the corner of the studio.
And we didn't have to spend extra money for that to happen.
Didn't have to Bluetooth it into another computer or phone. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Tough world out there, Gregory Ricks. Is it too late to get in on the Snapchat fervor?
Down the road, there's an opportunity if it'll make money and show value, but I think we're going to have a pullback at some point. This excitement moves will go away. And that's, you know, that's kind of stocks you want to avoid, that are all excited. It's all that. Next thing you know, it just keeps going down. And what drives everything in the market? Earnings, sales, making money. That's what all investors want to see, because that then pushes up the price. You can have that opportunity, and I just don't see it as long term until they start making money, but everybody can be excited about it. And then somebody will bring up, oh, well, Amazon didn't make money for a long time, but they kept growing sales and kicking everybody. And now recently, Walmart seems to have figured out the online stuff and is making a run at competing. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But the other thing for Amazon is the client. For me, it's client loyalty. I believe in loyalty in everything. And Amazon has loyalty. I don't know that Walmart does. That'd be something to see, that the customers keep going back to get it there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love me some Walmart. You know I do. But if Target was 10% cheaper on everything...
You're there.
Yeah, I'm about to be at Target tomorrow. I'd be at Target at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You watch me. So it brings up a lot of bubble talk, though, and most of this is based on the price per earnings. You know, you can't say price per profit, but the multiples are insane. What was it, like 46 times the market cap of the company versus how much money they brought in last year? You got to multiply by like 46. Amazon, the one you were bringing up just now, just a little over 3, I believe, is the multiple there between the cap of the company and how much money they bring in. Is that a valid complaint there? This is obviously a bubble. This is part
about
of the tech
Snapchat
bubble. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a tech bubble overall, but could a lot of things be overpriced? Yes. I think Snap is overpriced because we're not seeing them make money. But Facebook did that, had the IPO and really, they said they had it solved, but they really didn't, but they got it solved.
Here's where it gets weird, though. The Snapchat valuation now. This company is, on paper, more valuable than CBS.
Yeah, what was that market cap number? $40
billion? Yeah.
Yeah, Ford's at $50 billion.
The only explanation I have is they reach about the same amount of people. CBS, you know, reaches about 100 million people, you know, a week. Snapchat does a little bit better than that. But they just don't have any overhead, you know.
But
they don't have Scott Pelley's salary at $4 million a year. They don't have to have a studio.
What is their demographics at CBS?
The whole spread.
Yeah. People that have money, too. Snaps is, what, 18 to 24, 18 to 26?
Younger guys.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy. You know, do I even know what CBS stands for? What's the C? Because you know that it's broadcasting system. Columbia. Yeah. They've been around for 80 years, 90 years, and this company
shows up. But that's the nature, that's how this world works. And that tells you it's overpriced right there for where it's at. The market will adjust that. You had... It's just they're overexcited.
Well, everyone was asking us about the Facebook IPO. No one called in and asked us about the Snapchat IPO. That might be the biggest bubble sign right there. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. James Parker here. That app is your financial lifeline. Maybe you have a 401k at the old job. Maybe you've just been offered a pension buyout. Maybe you're getting close to retirement. Maybe you just inherited some money. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You're just one touch away from calling the office, setting an appointment, sending us a text message, and getting your financial future under control. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Download it in your app store. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
You know, once you pass away, it's not something that you can get a mulligan on. It has to be done ahead of time, and the results of it not being done ahead of time can be very, very drastic.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Well, I have 529 accounts for my two grandchildren, and I've heard that they can negatively impact financial aid applications.
That is accurate. They're going to look for you to spend that money first before they kick in money. That's why I kind of frown upon using 529s, because there's some tax advantages to saving through that. What the problem is, it's going to show up on a financial aid application. So they're going to take that in consideration, where if you're looking to help those children, just simply put up money in a savings account for them. The other way to handle that is to put money into a Roth. There's no early withdrawal penalty for purpose of paying tuition.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
We know ain't nobody scared now. Do your thing like a spring break. Wake and bake in the end again. Live it up for the weekend.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks, myself, and James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, 504-260-0995. You can use technology like the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Download it at your app store. Another thing to download when you're there is the iHeartRadio app. Use them both to find and connect to the show if you can't listen to it on the AirFeed. AirFeed is an example of your car radio and home radio and such, because that will connect you to the stream and listen to us most anywhere you can think of. If you have a cellular data connection, you can listen to us about anywhere. And there's a Winning at Life tab on the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, and you can text the show. We still do it the old way, too. Email Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. There's a site chat on the website as well. Right now we have, I don't know if we have Facebook Live going. We're having, it's not happy with the connection here at the studio today. Once again, 504-260-0995. We were talking about Snapchat and its evaluation, its IPO this week, and where is this headed? My thing is, they're trying to compete with Facebook, and having been around teenagers for so, you know, teenagers, that period goes for quite a while. So being around teenagers for quite a while.
Well, look, explain that you have teenagers living in your house. We don't want people to think you're trolling the high schools.
Okay. Yeah. Stacy has three teenagers, triplets. So they're 18 this year. So we've been seeing all the rage back in the day when they were much younger about, oh, we want Facebook and got to get on Facebook. So what? And then you're like, oh, do we let them do that? You know, it's so dangerous on the internet and all. Boom, we let them on it. I think year they moved on. If they have fooled with it that long, they're on the Snapchat and other things there. And when you kind of think about, oh, we were being cautious about Facebook. Well, what was Snap?
Yeah, why don't you get back on Facebook, kids?
So, understanding their demographics, really 18 to 26, I think their demographics skews a little lower, more like probably 14 to 24, as far as I don't think they're being honest about that. And my concern is not the elephant in the room. It's just, what are these young people going to move on to next as they finish college, get married, have some kids? So do they stay with Snap? Do they start shift more to Facebook to be connected? That would be kind of the worry, because what you're really wanting to do, I think, as a business is shift your demographics higher. Yeah, you want to keep those people and keep them attached, but what about adding another 20 years to that range. You know, what about getting up to 50?
Well, and it's cool because we've seen this happen physically with the tech world, but now we're seeing it happen digitally with the tech world, where when you had, it wasn't that long ago, you would go get a little technological doodad to have your GPS on it, and that's what you would have in your car, and that would tell you where to go. You'd have another technological doodad that would take pictures. It would be a camera, either video or still pictures, but now it's all on your phone. So it is. Snapchat will do these fun little filters and the quick images that go away in a chat setting, or you can make your group chats real fast. You can have some other fun with it. That can go away if Facebook adopts it properly or if someone else adopts it properly. Heck yeah, they can steal them. Just like, you know, GoPro's gone because of the camera. Just like Garmin's going away because the GPS is also on your phone.
Look, there is a place for GoPro. It may end up being acquired. You know, its market cap is not a lot more than $1 billion now. But you can't stick iPhones on the side, on a fender of a car and go filming it as you race down the road. You know, does the iPhone work good on a surfboard or bouncing off of a ski through the snow? So there is places for that, but we're talking about what are normal everyday users wanting to do to get their video and camera and pictures. It's their phones. And the cameras keep improving. So that makes that easy, that then GoPro's really a niche business and it was being priced for everyone to use, which wasn't the case.
What is the financial world equivalent of these technological advancements where it gets quicker and easier and cheaper? Would that be like mutual funds versus ETFs?
All I can think of is you buy a computer, it's going to be outdated in a year. No, 6 months. Technology advances. Mutual funds, old school, new school, is exchange-traded funds. We talked about the, what did we do on last night's show? The Bible-based ETFs.
Yes.
And, well, yeah, that's been around forever in mutual funds. All of a sudden, they're talking about it like it's the new thing. No, it's another niche area. It's been around. It's just now it's in ETFs. So you're going to have technology always advance. iPhone's problem. Apple's problem is somebody come up with something that's about to outdate us that creates that next unbelievable shift.
Tectonic shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable shift.
And then they got to play catch up. I know exactly what you're talking about. One of the things is the wireless charging of the batteries. Samsung or LG that's already doing that? And Apple's like, yeah, we're going to put that on our next phone. Well, you don't have it now. You're going to be, 6 months behind at least? Makes us more powerful, though. How many people have we been able to reach because of social media, because of these avenues?
From doing a radio show, it's kind of changing everything. Technology is, because, you know, a few years ago, you and I were doing a financial TV show that would air on Sunday mornings. And at some point, it was overload on me and became stressful. So we stopped the show. But technology's enabled us to do a better show every time we're on the air doing radio. And it can be recorded, can be placed, and we have hundreds of people tune into it, which might be a bigger number because we don't see everything, just like those that pick up the stream. Technology allows us to do, you know, where it used to be, well, we're on this show just in our market, but we're doing a show that there's listeners all across the country.
Yeah, over 6,000 people listen to us every week and never hear us over the radio. That's what our number's at the last time we checked. All right, but with more remote capabilities means if there's a guy that's in Mississippi or a guy in Alabama and he wants to work with you, that hurdle's not there. Well, how would it have been different if he tried to work with you 20 years ago versus now? Let's say Mobile. Let's give
somebody's having to travel. You're just working over the phone is really it. where there's so much more connectivity right now is we do go to meeting, we can do Skype, any of the technologies that allows us to get on the computer, see and talk to each other and give that information. And I think it's important for the visual contact when you're working with somebody's money, for them to see you visually and you see them. When you're having conversations and sometimes things could get technical or complicated, you want to see, did I lose this person? You know, they're showing confusion. Okay, I know to stop, go back, because I can see that. Otherwise, I'm just trying to hear their voice, which is more difficult.
30 years ago, that's all you had. You had maybe you could mail something or fax something, but most of it was voice. And then you could fast forward to 10 years ago, you could send them emails, you could send them a spreadsheet of what their money's doing right now, or maybe send them a link to something. But now you can get the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, and if you're a client in Mobile, Alabama, you can just pull up on your phone, look at your dashboard, and see where all your accounts are. You don't even have to call the office anymore, Gregory. How doesn't that make it much easier for y'all? This app is doing the work of what used to be a staffer.
Yeah, the GPS website, that's kind of one of the reasons we did that, is to make sure they have as much information as they want. Some want a lot of information, some not so much. That's why they use us, because they're like, I just don't want to spend my life looking at these numbers.
Of course, then we get to that cutting through the clutter thing, too, because now if you want to research a financial product, your own, you go to the computer, and you have access to all of them, trying to cut through that clutter. Also, we'll probably have to talk about this in the next segment. It has made scamming so much easier.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was wanting to talk about that this morning as well. Things to look out regarding scams.
All right, that's going to come up in the next segment. Remember, our next Gregory Ricks Live event is now less than 2 weeks away, March 15th. It'll be 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. If you want to come on out, we have a couple seats available. Reserve your seat. You can use that Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can go to gregoryricks.com, or let me give you the office number. You ready? 504-832-9200. Come see Gregory Ricks Live. Meet the crew, meet the Total Wealth Authority, and find out if we're going to be the financial firm that takes care of your financial future. And we're going to talk more about these scams, what to look out for, what we've seen, and some guidance going forward. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Just like conversation I had the other day regarding a reverse mortgage. And she asked me, she said, okay, what is it that's going to go bad? I said, well, let me ask you this. This current mortgage you have, if you quit making payments on it, isn't that one you got to be careful with too? She said, oh, yeah. I said, what would happen if you quit making payments? She said, at some point, they're going to make me move. And that's exactly right. You have a reverse mortgage. Both of you are on the reverse mortgage. What's the worst thing that could happen? You don't leave any equity to your kids. But you do have to pay your taxes and your insurance along the way. That could cause you a problem.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you in any form or fashion are thinking about buying an annuity, whether it's a fixed or variable, you need to get a second opinion. And that's why you should give my office a call.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. President Trump says President Obama had his phones tapped during the presidential race.
The new president sending out a series of tweets comparing the alleged wiretapping to Nixon Watergate.
Fox Radio's Jill Nadeau in Washington.
There's no evidence except possibly accusations from radio host Mark Levin, who says the Obama administration filed a request with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to monitor communications involving Donald Trump and several advisors last summer, but that request was denied by the court.
No comment from the Obama camp. President Trump also tweeting that Arnold Schwarzenegger was fired from The Apprentice by his bad, pathetic ratings, and a touching tribute to the memory of a retired Ohio school cafeteria worker who died in January, a mystery donor paying off the lunch debts of every Port Clinton City School students from K to 12. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. If you're wondering what you should do with that old 401k at the old job, or the 401k at your new job, you think it should be doing better. You just inherited a pile of money. You just sold some property. You need to set up a trust for a special needs kid. Call Gregory, 504-260-0995. We'll try and get you a little bit of assistance here. Man, that news break caught our attention, didn't it?
What happened?
The story where she reported that Donald J. Trump, our president, not a big fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger all of a sudden. Huh? What happened there? You don't like the Terminator? What's the matter? That the report's right. She just said it in the news break you heard. I had to go look it up on Twitter real quick. Here's the last tweet our president made 3 hours ago. Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't voluntarily leaving The Apprentice. He was fired by his bad, pathetic ratings, not by me. Sad end to great show. Let's see there. Only 11,000 retweets. Well, here's 11,001. I got to retweet that. He is just brutal over here, and we were giggling. Man, that's kind of new to have a president that just barfs out whatever's on his mind and everyone gets to see it. I like it.
Well, if he's connected in some way, he's got an opinion. Hey, he probably has an interest in that show, and it's not going to continue, and surely not continue with bad ratings.
His other tweet 5 hours ago, which do the math, Gregory, 5 hours ago, 5:30 in the morning, this guy's tweeting, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon/Watergate. Bad, parentheses, or sick guy.
Did I miss something?
They're thinking that Mark Levin said that there was a Freedom of Information Act request from the Obama administration to tap Donald Trump, and it got turned down, but they're thinking they tapped him anyway and then leaked the information out just thinking it wouldn't get traced back to him.
And why would they want to do that?
For political reasons. to destroy your political opponents. You know, you spy on them. You try and find out anything nefarious. So when they go out and they say none of our camps ever talked to Russia, they can say, "Yeah, we know you're lying because we've been tapping you since August." Yeah. So that's part of it. But we talked about it on Wednesday. How much the market reacts to these tweets. You know, he tweeted one thing about Boeing, and then there was like a 3% move in one day following that tweet. You know, talk about cutting through the clutter. For one thing, you can say this is creating a lot of clutter because you're hearing everything that's on this guy's mind and not, you know, the skillfully crafted, poignant points that previous presidents were using social media for. But then on the other hand, you know, this is cutting through the clutter. This is how he goes around the media. This is how he talks to the people without having it filtered by networks. Angie, what's up?
You heard that Schwarzenegger responded to the tweet?
Well, do I got to go follow Arnold Schwarzenegger now?
I can just read it. It says he responded, "You should think about hiring a new joke writer and a fact checker."
Oh, man, they're going to get in a slap fight, aren't they?
Yeah. Boeing, market cap, $111 billion.
So it's just twice the size of Snapchat. They've built millions of planes that are flying all over the planet every day, and they're twice the size of Snapchat.
Yeah, strong, solid company. Been there, gonna be there. Oh, pays a dividend. What does Snapchat pay?
Nothing.
They don't have no profits.
They send you some dirty pictures.
It's not that Boeing's undervalued, but I think Snap's overvalued. It's just more indications of that.
I could not argue against that for 5 seconds. Of course Snap's overvalued. That is insane. All right, so now I'm following Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what his Twitter handle is? How lucky is this? At Schwarzenegger. I couldn't do that. At Parker. You couldn't do that. At Ricks. How nice is it to have a unique name? You get to have your own Twitter handle. You at least got at Gregory Ricks. My name is so generic, that was already gone before I got to Twitter in 2009.
Really?
At James Parker? Oh, yeah, that was long gone. All right, so scams, technology. Have we had anyone scam via Twitter yet that we know of, like walking through the halls of Gregory Ricks and Associates? Do we have any of the stories?
Do we know anywhere that it's happened?
I can imagine a scam has happened through every avenue, every medium of technology possible.
See, the connection could have started there. It could start about anywhere. Most of what you see today is through email.
Why email?
Because it's a numbers thing. They just send it out to as many people as they can and look for some hits. When you're robbing them of their money, does it take a lot for it to be profitable?
No. I guess not. So, we do see the emails. And you brought in one this week, and you handed it across the desk to me.
Well, actually, yeah, I brought some papers in because a client had asked us our opinion on it. And I'd be darned if a few days later I didn't get a phone call that I'd won $400 million. $400 million. I was like, wow. And so I went through, I said, well, how did I come to win this? Well, you registered for this lottery. And I said, no, I didn't. But when can you send me my check? If I wanted my money, right?
Sure. I want the lump sum.
Yeah, I want the lump sum. I want it all. And, well, there's some things we got to do, some paperwork. Well, that's what's leading up to the scam is you probably have to, not probably, they're going to want you to spend some money for setup fees, make the transfer, the verification. My thing is, deduct it from my check. You're going to overnight to me. Now I'm waiting for the Powerball to call me because, you know, I'm when it gets really big, like 400, 500 million, maybe 600, I might go buy a ticket. And does that mean they're going to call me?
No, you got to go to them.
Oh, God, it doesn't work that way. Well, this guy hung up on me, so I guess he changed him. But then Cody, I left because I was like, over it. It's a scam. And then Cody calls back. Well, he called back, and we told him we didn't need the money. We're doing pretty well.
Right, $400 million. Who needs
that?
Yeah,
he said, give it to someone else that needs it. He said, oh, we can't do that. You have to take the money. You know, it's such bull. Now, the docs I have here, I handed to you. So I want your take on when you receive an email about this. And I put it in front of James, and there wasn't three ticks off the time, and he just tossed it back. It's a scam. So tell me what you saw and what you think.
Well, what I recognize is the graphics in the header. Treasure Mega Millions Cash Awards is decorated with a word art template from Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that if you run the Powerball, you're not going to have access to Microsoft Office.
2012, more recent, 2017 Office.
I can't speak to something that specific, but I've seen this as far back as 2003, this specific one. It may be in the newer ones too. But if you got $4 million slashing around in some account, you're probably going to be able to hire a graphic designer that has at least Photoshop so you can get out of Microsoft Word for your graphics capabilities. And plus, no one would choose that logo. That's a disgusting logo. So I didn't even read a word on the sheet. I didn't look at the check. I didn't look at the prizes. I didn't have to decipher, well, this doesn't jibe or this sounds fishy. I noticed by the graphics. So, it was under 3 seconds. In fact, when you handed it to me, it was upside down. And by the time I had turned it all the way over, oh, okay, this is fake.
Yeah.
Was about it. So, to be honest, I haven't even read through this. I ended up handing it right back to you.
If you look at the check, it's very obvious. They really didn't put any effort into making that look real. Now, you're seeing the black and white printing of it, but the color does, you know, it looks nice in color, except it doesn't hide the errors.
Yeah, so what we have here is first, what order was this in? Was this on the front page or was this on the front page, the check?
I don't recall.
Yeah, so they have what looks like a copy of a check that has it made out for.
This went through another advisor that works for me and handed off to me so we can tell people on the show about the scam and don't fall for it.
Well, listen, we work in broadcasting where there are real contests where people win all the time, and they will call up the station. They'll be like, hey, man, I just got a call that I won $1,000 from the iHeartRadio contest. We're like, yeah, you probably did. Go ahead and call the number back. You must have been one of the people that texted in the keyword at the top of the hour. Do that if you think you're going to win millions. Call Gregory, get a second opinion, and don't send them money, right?
Do not send them money to retrieve a prize. And part of the conversation with client, you know, I'm sorry to have to bother you. No, you should bother us about it. We don't want this to happen.
Literally what we're here for. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, Raj, happy birthday. How you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
That's where Greg's genius comes in, is just knowing to put professionals all in an environment to give the listeners of this show, and knowing that they have a platform and they can get questions.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I have about $500,000 in cash. I want it to be a very unrisk type of investment.
And this is the way I look at all money. We work hard to get it, whether it's $500,000, $200,000, or $800,000. It's all really important money. But I do have clients that come in, and they're just like Ray is. I'd like to get this money to work, but I do not want to lose a penny. And there are right. financial tools and strategies to do that, depending on the length of time that you have to put this money to work. One of the ways I like to break it down is I'll say that $500,000 isn't going to do all the same job. It could be a number of things, and that's how we want to assign it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5. WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Your daily dose of financial wisdom. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Baby.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. If you want to join the show, you got a question, got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory 504-260-0995. Reach out to us via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. We're going to be perusing the digital inbox shortly for any questions there. Coming up in about 13 minutes, Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority, will be joining us in studio. So we're going to have an additional level of expertise. So if you have any estate planning questions, you can go ahead and tee them up for the 11 o'clock hour. Gregory, would you want to be the first person that Elon Musk sends around the moon?
No.
No. Maybe not even the second. Maybe like the 10th. Definitely like the 100th. Two reasons. Number one, like when the VCR first came out, a DVD first came out, or the CD player first came out, wildly overpriced. You know, you wait a couple years for that price to come down. But really, you know, don't you want to wait till they work out the kinks on something as life or death as going around that glowing ball in the sky?
I don't know if 10 is enough, because I'm thinking of Apollo 13.
They lived.
That's not very touch and go for.
Isn't that a convincing argument? They lived. Oh, well, I'll go now, Parker. You're so persuasive. A lot of space stuff going on, Gregory. This is super cool. So SpaceX wants to send tourists around the moon. Supposedly, they have two of them that are already ready to pay up, and they may do it as soon as next year.
I just think we could look, talking about space, it's a shame that we or a number of countries really don't pull together and do more with that. Because imagine how the efficiencies are now with all the technology to do that. But as you've seen, SpaceX does occasionally have a rocket blow up, sending cargo to the space station, which also, by the way, is routine. But stuff still goes awry. So, and that's even with technology, but I just could imagine we were putting people on the moon and the computers that was running that probably didn't have as much memory as that iPhone hanging on the wall.
It was like having one of those old desk calculators, you know, those little solar powered calculators. That's literally all the technology they had on that entire flight.
Yeah.
It's like one calculator. I also want to run a couple other things by you. The United Arab Emirates sheikh that wants to spend $5 billion of his dollars to put a colony on Mars. Amazon now. Jeff Bezos is working on a plan to set up Amazon-like drone deliveries for the future human settlement on the moon. But first, let's go to the phones here. Earl in New Orleans, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Earl?
I got a question. My house, I owe a certain amount of money on it. I can pay it off, but if I do it, I'll be broke. So would that be a good idea?
If it makes you broke, I'd say you already answered the question. Broke's not good.
Why are you still asking the question, Earl?
You got to have liquidity. You could pay it down some. Yeah. So how much is the mortgage?
It's $100,000.
How many years left on it?
We borrowed on the house several times. I put my son through medical school, and so we had to keep borrowing money for different things. But
did he finish medical school?
Yes, sir. He's PhD.
Okay, he's practicing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess he's making more than $100K a year.
Well, not right now. I mean, it's just he's only been out about a year. He's in California. He's a research scientist, and they don't make a lot of money, you know.
Okay.
But he's going to do better, you know, but it's just that I'm not sure if I should get broke. I mean, pay the house off and don't have any more assets, or just put the money somewhere where I can make a little bit.
What kind of money are we talking about? Is this after-tax money that's coming from your savings account? Or is this an IRA?
No, this is I'm retired, so this is just money. In other words, if I pay it off, I won't have that much left.
Okay, and it's not a taxable event for you to use that money?
No.
Okay. So how's your monthly budget going with this? Does that work?
Well,
or is that the struggle?
Yeah, it's a struggle.
So you pay off the house, then you have no savings left.
No, my wife works. She works, but
then how are you going to build up that savings? Does that mean you can save that $700 a month or whatever it is?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a job. I'm trying to go back to work myself, but I've been having problems, because of my age.
What is your age?
74.
Yeah, that's a little obstacle.
How old's the wife?
She's 63.
What do you think your house is worth?
Well, it's probably about the same as I want, maybe 120, I don't know. It's this neighborhood. When I moved in this neighborhood a while back, it was really nice, but now it's just deteriorated. It's not too nice around here anymore. So I really would like to pay it off and move, to be honest with you.
If you're wanting to move, why would you pay it off? I wouldn't pay it off. If you're going to sell it, don't put the money into it.
Okay, well, that's why I called. I wanted your opinion. I don't know what to do. I mean, sometimes I say, yeah, I'll pay it off, and then sometimes I say no. I just it's just hard. I mean, it's a hard decision for me. That's what I'm saying.
Hate to see you down to no options from a savings standpoint. So many things can happen, and you might say, oh, I wish I had $10,000 in the bank. Now I've got to go to the bank and see if I can get a line of credit, and they don't have to. Just because it's collateralized with a house doesn't mean they have to give it to you.
Yeah. Well, what would I do with the money, if I don't pay the house? How would you invest?
Does your wife have a 401k or savings or anything?
No.
Okay.
Actually, she's retired. She gets a pension. She's retired off of one job, and she went to work somewhere else.
So if you don't pay off the mortgage, can you, does your financial situation enable you to pay the monthly mortgage payment?
Oh, yeah. We're not having problems with that, but it's not a lot left.
Reverse mortgage not an option?
No, value. He'd have to put money in it to do a reverse mortgage.
Yeah.
In that case, I just don't like the idea of draining. It sounds like you could support it. Yeah, it's not a lot left. That's why you have $100,000 in savings. What should you do with that?
Yeah.
Be very careful, because that's all the money you have. I don't know about equities. I don't necessarily know. Here's a 50-50 deal. Could you put it to work to where it wasn't liquid or was exposed a little bit, 50%. 50%, I would take no risk. So if you've got 100,000, if you wanted to expose it to something conservative, and you have to really be careful because you don't need to part with any of it, 50% could be there. But 50% needs to be no risk money. You might use CD annuities. You might use bank CDs, something like that. Outside of that, you're kind of looking at, well, can we get a little bit more return? And then I also might say, just, you might be risk averse to kind of, yeah, I'd like to get 3 or 4% with the whole 100,000.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm in a money market. That's where the majority of it's at.
Yeah. You do have some opportunity to improve the return. You know, 3% on 100 grand is 3 grand a year. Mm-hmm. That's probably more than you're getting now. That would probably help. And that brings more money to the monthly budget while you're continuing to pay off the mortgage over time.
Hey, and Earl, what happens in your scenario if you do pay off the house, you have no savings, and then the roof starts leaking and you got a $17,000 roof bill?
Well, yeah, that's going to be tough. But where you say you would put it at?
Well, I was giving an example. We've got a CD annuity. 5 year, 3.1%. Mm-hmm. We've got a few things we would do conservatively like that, but my thing is to be careful with it. And I don't know that I would put it in something that would cost me a fee to take it out over the next 10 years. There's some options depending upon your tolerance on risk, but it should be very conservative. This is all you have.
Right.
We don't want to lose money trying to make money on this.
Yeah, I know.
If you could make $3,000 to $4,000 a year in interest or dividend from it and something really conservative, and that's just some exposure on just a portion of it, and I'm not sure that we would even do that, but if you can make $3,000 to $4,000 a year from that block of money, that would help your situation right now to where you're saying there's not much left each month.
You can
call the office.
Okay.
We got people to talk to you there.
Okay.
Help take this further. That phone number is 504-832-9200. And if you forget, it's GregoryRicks.com.
I know, poor guy. He's in a tight spot month to month, but if he pays it off,
if
he's going to be in
yield,
a different tight spot.
Yeah, then he's in trouble when the roof leaks. Yeah.
504-260-0995. If you have any questions or financial situations coming up next, Wes Blanchard, Total Wealth Authority's estate planning attorney, is going to be in studio with us. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Hour 2, Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks. Makes me your host, Gregory Ricks. This is live Financial Talk Radio. We do this every Saturday for almost 7 years now. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, remember this number, 504-260-0995.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up in this hour of the show, we got Wes Blanchard. He's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority in studio. In the 12 o'clock hour, though, if you're not around, you may want to come back and check out the podcast. We're going to go through Trump's speech this week to the joint session of Congress, the pseudo State of the Union situation we were looking at. And we take a financial look at everything. I don't care about immigration. I don't care about foreign policy. I don't care about Russia. I care about my taxes. I care about my health care costs and regulation. That's about it. So we're going to cover that in the 12 o'clock hour. In the meantime, though, financial or estate planning situation, 504-260-0995.
Wes, did you hear? I won $400 million this week.
I did. I did hear about
that.
Lucky you.
I couldn't get them to send me the check, though. They're like wanting me to put something up front for setup fees or something.
Yeah, that's usually
just
pretty typical,
email,
right?
Email they send out. Oh, by the way, yeah, Mercedes was in the deal, too.
Nice.
Yeah, I told them, I'm good. I already got one of those anyhow.
Right.
Give the money to somebody else. They didn't want to do that. Wanted to give it to me, but I needed to pay them the setup fee.
No, there's no legal recourse for these people, Wes Blanchard?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's fraud. You can get sued and put in jail for a very long time. The problem
is... These people are in Africa!
Well, yeah, I mean,
well,
that's
phone
exactly
number
the
showed
issue.
Vegas that they're calling from. We looked into that.
Ooh. Are they spoofing the number? Or it really come from Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not that difficult nowadays to get a number in a different area code.
I can spoof a number.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was probably spoofed.
I'm looking at your winning email here, and I noticed at the bottom they even went to the links to copyright and trademark protect this seal and these graphics that, you know, are pretty god awful. It's pretty.
You agree with the graphics, right?
Pretty comical.
The copy of the check, but look at the check where you've got number and then it's repeated number again, and then it's written on Bank of America, but it has in front dollar sign parentheses then dollar sign then US. Isn't it kind of assumed, you know,
Bank of America would you would assume they would default to American currency.
I did tell them you have my permission to deduct the fee setup fees from my check.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, the question is, you know, how much are you going to give to the guys who are giving you the call, right? Like, oh, you know, hey, how about you can deduct $10,000 for the phone call? I know your time's very valuable. Thank you very much
for calling me.
Just let me know how you got that money, and then send me my money that way.
Yeah
these folks.
I hadn't heard of the Powerball calling people, the state lotto. Hey, by the way, we saw that you bought this ticket that won. We kind of need you to come in and pick up the check.
Right? Is it
Powerball doesn't ask for setup fees or anything on the front end. The lottery doesn't. Just
how do you
remember
know you haven't
that.
Won? You don't know.
Lottery tickets are only cash, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't even pay for it with a debit card.
Right. So how in the world would they get your information to begin with?
Well, that's the kind of point when people... We're just trying to get the word out. When you get this phone call or email that you've won, hang up the dadgum phone.
Just be
right then.
Be skeptical.
Or if you got a little time on your hands, you could have a good time, I suppose.
I've done that before. I've called one of these guys in Nigeria
mess
and
with
them run around. Yeah, like 10 years ago.
I'm related to a guy who's notorious for that. He just loves it. Loves it. We'll drag him along all day long. He will tell him that he's going to get the money. He's on the road right now. He's heading there to go do everything and take their calls and get them to walk him through everything.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That's a good time. That was a good time.
When I first started in radio, there was a comedian back when we had landlines, and he would sign up for everything and wait for telemarketers to call and record him messing with them. And it was very popular CD, and it was very popular play on the radio because nobody likes telemarketers, and he would just crap all over them. I mean, we would have to bleep half of it, but for some reason, it was very cathartic because they're such a bane on our existence to actually have them get some of it coming back. You want to do this real quick with Wes?
Yeah.
All right. Because we take a financial look at everything, everything gets run through the filter of finance here. Let's do a little NFL chat because Wes is one of the top NFL analysts that isn't really an NFL analyst I've ever met. You should do this on the side. You know more than half the guys.
You're going to ask him those loaded questions you ask me to see if he knows.
Oh, yeah, that's the fun part. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so the NFL salary cap for the 2017 season got a $12 million raise. Mm-hmm. Good luck, Saints. It's now $167 million. Just for the low, low price, you can put together a football team. Let's get the guessing game going here. Who has the most available salary cap space according to overthecap.com as of March 1st? Out of the 167 they could possibly spend, there's only one team that has more than $100 million of that open, $102 million. Who is it?
I think it's either the Tennessee Titans or Jacksonville Jaguars are probably my two guesses.
No, but those are great guesses.
No, you're... One of them was close.
Yes. Actually, it would be the Cleveland Browns.
Oh.
Did they just cut half of their team? I realize they have no superstars.
Right, right. Nope. I guess they don't have anyone to pay.
This is why we had to do this with Wes. The Cleveland blankety blank Browns.
Yeah.
And look, $102 million open cap space. The number two team has $77 million in cap space. So there's like $25 million drop from first place to second place. And then there's a little parity after that. Can you guess the number two team? It was Gregory guessed the first three.
Really?
Without even being prompted in order.
That's interesting. No, I mean, look.
Browns have the most cap space. Who has the second most cap space?
49ers?
Yes, it is the 49ers. Yeah. Number three.
I think I'll go Tennessee again.
That's so close, but a team even worse than that.
You guessed it earlier as one of the two.
Oh, Jaguars?
Yes, yeah. The Jaguars are number three. Then the Buccaneers and the Tennessee Titans round out the top five. All right, so...
look, he's like filling base. God, I'm supposed to know that.
All right, well, these are the biggest doormats, basically.
They are.
We have left. I mean, you can maybe throw the Bears up there. But, you know, probably five of the top six doormats. Guess what team is number six? It'll be the first team with a winning record here.
Wow.
The team with the highest salary cap space for a team with the winning record is?
Let's say they're a very good team.
You're going to want to flip over the table.
Is it the Patriots?
It's the Patriots. It's the Patriots.
Yeah. How does everybody else in the NFL feel about that? The dude just won the Super Bowl, and they have over $60 million.
That's a nightmare.
In cap space.
There's only five teams who have more money to play with to pick up free agents in the offseason, and they all stink.
Yeah.
The Patriots have more money than any other winning team to go make their team better in the offseason, and they just won the Super Bowl and came back from 25 points down. How do you have that much talent and this much open space? Money. Money management. Finances. That's why the Patriots are a dynasty. That's not why they won this year. That's not why they won a few years ago. That's why they've won for the last 14 years.
Sure, you're right. And I think money management is probably the best way to put it. What they do is much like a stock, right? They look at a stock and you say, or a player like a stock, and they say, okay, how much better is this stock going to be? And I'm already, maybe I've already gotten as much as I'm going to get out of it without incurring some pain. And the pain that, you know, investors feel is, well, the market's going to drop a little bit, or something's going to happen here where I have to start pouring more money into it. The Patriots, on the other hand, would say, well, I'm going to have to give this guy a massive contract extension, during which time he's only going to get older. He's only going to be more injury prone. So what they do is they say a year ahead of time, all right, man, we're not going to renew you. We're not going to renew you. And we're either going to cut you, or we're just going to let your contract expire. And so in exchange, what they do is they create and they keep this bubble of cap space. And they go out and they sign these veteran players who want to come there on like these 1 year, I can prove that I can still play deals. And they get, you know, they get a high-end Pro Bowl caliber player sometimes to play for half the price. And then exactly.
And what's the carrot?
Oh, the rings.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's
the old Pat Riley move. You throw the rings on the table and you say, you want some of those?
Uh-huh.
You know, you already have a million of those other things, you know, dollars you got. You want some of those? You come over here for a year, you get one. You rehab your image, rehab your marketability, yeah. And then you go sign a big contract.
You know who fits that mold in this offseason? DeMarcus Ware. Killed it with the Cowboys, scored a huge contract with the Broncos, has probably about three good years left before he starts to get subbed out, you know. But what do you do if you're DeMarcus Ware?
Yeah, I think he's right in that wheelhouse.
That's exactly the kind of player that's going to go there. Pro Bowl caliber, if not, maybe just second tier because he's lost a step because he's 32 now, maybe.
Yeah, he can't play every down anymore. He's a specialist sort of situation.
But he's still an incredible talent, and he's going to go there for a song because... Well, I guess he does have a ring, but maybe he wants another one.
But no, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, it shows you that money management and planning in and of itself goes to every aspect of business, not just football teams. I mean, it's not just stocks. It's about looking out and seeing how much pain you're going to incur in order to get what you want. And I think, you know, your stance, Gregory, is probably a lot like the Patriots in that you're risk adverse. You don't want to take on that stock that might be volatile. You know, they don't want to take on that player that might not age so gracefully, that might continue to be injury riddled, and they've poured all this money into it.
That's part of their story is why do they always win? They always have money,
right.
and they manage it correctly to where they don't get killed by mistakes. Saints, on the other end, have made huge mistakes over the years, and they can't afford to bring in any players because they're paying for players that aren't there no more.
Saints are at $27 million in cap space. They're ranked 18th, right in the middle. That's been their biggest Achilles heel the last two seasons. At $3 million, $3.3 million, what team has the least amount of cap space? What franchise has no money to play with? They're probably not even going to be able to sign their draft picks.
I got this one right the other day, too.
He nailed it right in my face. Might as well slap me in the face while he did it, if that's not a big hint for you.
Cowboys.
Yes, it's the Cowboys. The Cowboys have the Cowboys can barely afford lunch in the offseason, much less a first-round draft pick.
Romo getting out of there will help you out a little.
They're going to put Romo on one of these Space X rockets and send him around the moon.
Yeah.
It's like, does the salary cap count if he's in outer space?
Yeah,
he has to be dealt.
All right, Wes Blanchard, we're going to do some estate planning stuff next. Financial look at football. Rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
504-260-0995 if you have any questions. I'm James Parker, joined by Wes Blanchard. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. James Parker here. That app is your financial lifeline. Maybe you have a 401k at the old job. Maybe you've just been offered a pension buyout. Maybe you're getting close to retirement. Maybe you just inherited some money. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You're just one touch away from calling the office, setting an appointment, sending us a text message, and getting your financial future under control. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Download it in your app store. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
And here's one of the simple explanations to consider doing a subchapter S. Okay, they're in a situation where it's all being passed to them, then it's going on the Schedule C, and you're paying the Social Security tax, and let's say you're ending up with $80,000 in income. Well, do a subchapter S entity, pay yourself a salary, you're being taxed on $50,000 if it reasonably pays your bills and supports your standard of living. And the other 30 is a K-1 distribution that passes along to you, and all you're doing is paying the income tax on that. You're not paying the payroll and Social Security taxes and such. That's one of the core considerations of doing a subchapter F.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker, joining us in studio for the rest of this hour. Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates.
Hey, can I mention to you? Well, I'm going to anyhow. I woke up middle of the night or something, was watching this documentary on Bitcoin that was put out in 2014.
You did not.
I did so.
Last night you did that?
No, not last night. But it just was an interesting take on it. Didn't give me any more confidence or change my mind how I feel about it. But even though the Bitcoin now is $1,264.30 on the last trade regarding the converting it to U.S. dollars, it still feels mythical among a lot of the people that were in the documentary about where they think it goes and what it does. So that's just my thoughts.
Do I need to watch this documentary?
No. It's a waste of time.
Dang.
You can watch it. You're right.
Well, I don't want to waste my time, according to Gregory Rick. Just,
besides 2014, it's now 2017. I think it's the information they have is outdated, but it just... They're not even certain in the documentary where in the heck it came from. And I think we have more information on that now, too. So.
Can you pass along Bitcoins in your estate plan? And can you put Bitcoins in a trust?
Oh, yeah. All of that is held just the same as stock is held.
Now, is it a real trust or is it a virtual trust? Does it actually exist or is it just sort of this mythical construct?
No, you need to – you can't digitally get around the law. You want to make sure everything's buttoned up. So you need to have a real trust that holds fake Bitcoin, I suppose.
not a virtual trust.
Yeah.
Can I bury my Bitcoins in the backyard?
No. Oh, you can put them in a wallet and bury the wallet. All right, Wes. So when you chimed in on the Daily Wrap last night, you were bringing up trusts. Trusts are going to be wildly more popular, according to some of the articles we've been reading going forward. Primarily because we have so much more stuff to pass down.
That's it.
And like Bitcoin, it's not all physical. I remember you were telling us not too long ago, your iTunes, everything you've downloaded, every MP3 you've downloaded from iTunes, the rights to all those songs can be passed on. I bet almost no one is doing that. And all those purchases and those rights just disappear into the ether. And Apple's like, hey, thanks a lot. We don't have to provide services for those rights anymore. Is there any way you can go back and like maybe recapture that, or this was left in someone else's estate? Can I get the rights to these songs? Or
are you like at a tax sale? Is that what you're looking to do? You buying iTunes songs at a tax sale?
Well, I don't know, estate sale. I don't know.
I don't know how far Apple would be willing to go with all that, or whether it would actually be worth your time. You know, assuming that this person didn't have this massive cachet of records and singles and all those other things. But, I think we had talked a little bit about that during the Prince estate plan discussion where, certain times caches of songs and things like that are going to be highly, highly valuable. Apparently he has dozens and dozens of unreleased records, containing possibly hundreds of songs. So obviously, much like the Beatles and the Michael Jackson issue, those become pretty valuable when that person passes away as such an icon. And it's new material,
Well, who's going to get the rights to all the podcasts of Winging It Life with Gregory Ricks once Gregory's gone?
Well, that's part of the assets he owns. So whoever he's designated in his will or his trust is going to be the verified legal owner of those. Now, the collection of that is, something that most folks probably wouldn't be as interested in as, some others. But you can pass that stuff on. I think, you're hitting the nail on the head. There's so many more things that are being held in ownership in these various digital forms. Bank accounts are almost all online now. You can take pictures of checks nowadays and deposit it from your house. There's no need to even go in. ATM cards are really the only reason you need to find one, a standalone machine to grab cash. You can pay from your phone. All of those are things that I think you're seeing start to grow at a very rapid rate now. And I think within the next 15 years, you'll see it as the primary way to exchange currency is going to be all digital. And so that's just one sort of aspect of your estate plan is your monetary assets. Certain things are never really going to go away, never going to be digitized. You know, real estate is never going to be digitized. But, you know, right. much like money, your stocks are held in an account that's essentially, you know, it's all done through the internet, through the computer, and it's all traded electronically. It's all held electronically. And so those are things that are going to become more and more primary on the mind of people who are either inheriting estates or who are passing them on.
All right. So the phones we go. Matthew and Metairie, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Talking to James Parker, Wes Blanchard, and Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Well, you're talking about digital assets, and I thought of one. What if you have a YouTube channel? What happens to that?
That's interesting. You know, that's something that I hadn't come across, but if it's held in ownership by a person rather than YouTube, it's just like any other asset you would own. It's likely just tied to that site. But other than that, you know, it's really, like I said, just like any other digital asset that you would own. I'm not highly familiar with that. Is that something that you do all the time? Do you have your own YouTube channel?
No. I had not yet, I emphasize yet, have a YouTube channel. But I was thinking that there are people that I follow on YouTube whose channel is in their name. So does that mean that they own the rights to that name of that channel? And when they pass on, do the rights to the name of that channel pass on to their heirs, or does it revert to YouTube?
Sure. And you know, as somebody who also doesn't have his own YouTube channel, I don't know that for sure. But my expectation would be is, as you see some of these folks who have these YouTube channels that grow to mass amounts of followers, that YouTube does have some sort of legalese document that, you know, is required to be signed off on, where they have the right to edit whatever you put in there to a certain extent. And I would imagine that ownership of the content, or even of the site IP address itself, is probably also addressed in that.
Interesting. Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, and there's a couple things to add to that, because you do own all the videos and the copyrights and the trademarks that are in the videos, you know, if you own them outside of YouTube. If you put them on YouTube, it's not like you give up those trademarks. But it's sort of a gray area that they're still sort of working out, because they're public domain, in the fact that they're all accessible to the public. Anyone can go view them or even download and rip them off the site if they want to. It's what you do with it after that that's still up to question. If you turn around, you download a video off of YouTube, you turn around, you make money off that, but it was making money previously, you know. And then the second part is some of the channels are different. Most channels are just people barfing whatever videos they can come up with on there, but the monetized channels, they have to be a separate legal entity, because, yeah, you have it set up to where how many ever people click on the ads in your video, a penny or two will go to a bank account. And so that process has to be passed on somewhere, because if these videos are still having clicks and ads, those pennies have to go somewhere. And where are they going to get redirected to? That smells like some estate planning attorney work for you, Wes.
Yeah, I definitely think the sort of pennies dropping into the account are part of the plan. What I'd be interested to know is whether YouTube is sort of giving them that platform in exchange for ownership rights to the IP address. You know, you may have your own channel and you can do X, Y, and Z with it. But when you pass away, we still own the physical IP address. So if you want to come here, you know, you have to buy us out from that particular spot. I mean,
what do you mean
the
IP address?
So I'm not a huge tech guy, so forgive me if I'm using the wrong lingo.
Yeah, I think
lingo.
You're misusing it, so I'm
so
confused.
If you're looking at YouTube and it's, say, the James Parker channel on YouTube, to type that in, youtube.com/JamesParkerShow.
Okay.
It would seem to me like they would own that address.
Okay.
Right. You would obviously retain all the money you did that, you know, that you earned off of that and the content that you place on it, but use of that address is still likely owned by YouTube. That would be my inclination. Now, obviously, that might be different.
Yeah, and Facebook already has a process that lets you turn an active page into a memoriam page. Have you seen those for people that die? Go to some of your friends that have passed away and go to their Facebook page. A lot of them, if the family reaches out to Facebook and it can be confirmed this person's passed away, they lock it down and it puts in the corner in memoriam, like where it would say, I think, add friend. now. I think it says in memoriam, you know, post-mortem.
Okay, yeah, I definitely have seen, I guess, active accounts of people who had recently passed away, but I had never actually gone to the page after I knew they passed away.
All right, let's do some nuts and bolts. Give me 30 seconds, just the like I've never heard it before, like I'm new to the English language. What is a trust, and when would I need to use it?
Okay, so a trust is a very simple entity most of the time that's set up to help you out with an estate plan. And what it does is it gives you some extra bells and whistles that aren't available in a will. So that might be structuring payments, structuring the distribution of your assets in a certain fashion. And one of the biggest things that it does for most people is avoid the entire succession and probate process. So that's kind of the skinny on it.
Okay. Any questions for Wes, for Gregory? I don't know why you'd have one for me. 504-260-0995. More with Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney, the Total Wealth Authority. Next, I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We're a very busy firm. Kind of like going to a restaurant. What do you want to be, the only one dining in there for lunch, 20 tables, and you and a couple other people are in there? Nah, I don't want to do that. I want it to be busy because I know the food's good and I'm getting high quality. And that's one thing about our firm is, you know, we're busy. We have appointments all day long, every day, multiple advisors. If you want more information about our services and fees, we have form ADV, and you can go to gregoryricks.com. Bottom of every page, there is a link for that. Or call the office, 504-832-9200.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Folks talk about fixed indexed annuities. Great financial tool in the right place, but they do have a surrender period. What does it cost me to get in? What does it cost me to get out? And when can I exit?
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Former Obama aide Ben Rhodes pushing back against allegations by President Trump,
accusing former President Obama of wiretapping him during the campaign. Mr. Trump tweeted earlier this morning, "Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism."
Fox's Leland Vittert. Rhodes, who was the deputy national security advisor, tweeting back, "No president can order a wiretap. Those restrictions were put in place to protect citizens from people like you."
There are some reports that indicate there were warrants for wiretaps against Trump's aides.
And a peanut butter substitute being recalled after an E. coli outbreak. Authorities say there have been 12 cases linked to I Am Healthy brand soy nut butter products or granola coated with the company soy nut butter. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
You won't learn this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. Gregory Ricks and James Parker. We have Wes Blanchard in studio. You know, there was a case I had this week where we're having discussions about wills and if there is a trust needed. And most of the money is qualified money as well. So that goes by beneficiary designation. Annuities do so as well. But it depends on those outside assets. And I, you know, I'm kind of always about getting a will. So if you've got some questions along those topics, like when should it be done? When should it be reviewed? Gosh, do I need a revocable trust, irrevocable trust? It's 504-260-0995. Email Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. Use the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
All right, Wes, let's talk about trusts some more. We got through the basics here. When a trust is set up, it doesn't need a brick, doesn't need any mortar. It's just going to exist on paper only, right? So it's sort of like a virtual entity. If you know, if I go start a company, there's usually a building or an address you could give it. Is there an address or a location? Like, where is a trust kept? Is it just a piece of paper you hold around? Is the lawyer have it on file? You go file it with the courthouse?
Sure. So you actually, and that's one of the perks of the trust that we didn't get to right before the break there, is that unlike wills, trusts can pass on your property without becoming subject to the public domain. And what I mean by that is when you look at a will, for instance, in order to give that effect, you have to run that through the judicial system. And what that means is you would file it with the court. The court would examine it, make sure everything's, you know, all the boxes are checked off as far as formalities go. And then they would go through the process of what's called probating that will. That's what that probate process is probating the will means that giving it legal effect, giving that person's wishes legal effect.
How come it's the same word as probation?
That that I don't know.
They don't seem like very related entities or activities, I should
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Passing along someone's estate after they die is the same as keeping track of this dude who should be in jail?
Right, yeah. Right. That's an interesting point. I mean, you know what? I'll look that up and make sure I have something for you if I buzz into the Daily Wrap.
Well, maybe he is, you know, right now I can legally walk around the street. If I go commit a crime and, you know, a judgment and found guilty and I'm put on probation, I can still walk around the street. I'm just in a new legal entity or I've been passed through the legal system. And that's a stretch. I wouldn't make a good lawyer, I don't think.
Well, you know, we'll get some clarity on it for you.
Okay. So yeah. Probate and probation. Two different things completely. We don't know why they sound so similar.
Right, right.
Okay. Yep. Why? What's different between probate and succession?
So that's really just it's really just a term. A succession itself is actually that's the formal process of sort of administering the estate. The succession really just refers to the entirety of the process. The probate itself is giving the will itself legal effect.
What happens when a trust gets legal effect? Does that have a fancy term?
So, well, that's sort of the difference there, and that's what I was getting to, is when you do a will, in order to give that will legal effect, you have to ask the judge to sign off on that, to probate the will. In order to give a trust legal effect, in order to have that structure that you've set up actually come into effect, you don't need the hand of a judge. You don't need the approval of the seal of a judge. You just need those certain events that you've dictated in the trust to have happen, and then the ball is set in motion. So 99% of all these trusts say, hey, look, you know, when I pass away, here's what's going to happen. And then they get into some of the, you know, stages of how and when they would like certain things to happen.
No, we don't.
So that's generally how that works. So there's no quote unquote, I guess, there's no one who needs to sign off on it to give it legal effect. It by itself becomes legal at the time that those conditions are met. Okay, so in legal terms, it's called a suspensive condition, meaning the effect of something is suspended until that condition happens. Once that happens, then the ball is officially kicked into
motion. Like that dude that left millions and millions of dollars to his daughters, but they had to finish college, get married, have a baby in wedlock,
right?
Be gainfully employed, all these crazy things. We call them normal things. So what was the term for that, though, between him owning them being held by the trust and actually being dispersed?
The trust document itself created a suspensive condition.
Suspensive.
Yeah, so it put the distribution of money, it suspended that until the daughters got married, had a child in wedlock, had a job that they held for over 4 years. Things like that.
What happens to that money? Does it sit in a bank account? Is it cashed out and put in a safe deposit box?
So a lot of times that's where picking a good trustee comes in handy. You know, you pick someone to manage that money in the interim. So you can restrict what that trustee can do. You can mandate that money just sit in a small interest-bearing account like a savings account. It's not going to get you much. You're essentially going to lose money as inflation rises. But
sure, but you don't want them investing in Radio Shack either.
Exactly. Okay. And so that's kind of where...
Right, Gregory? No Radio Shack investments today?
No.
Okay.
That's where you're at with it. So you have a trustee that you can give a little leeway if you trust him to say, hey, this guy's really good with money. Maybe the trustee's Greg and you say, hey, look, I have a high amount
who's
confidence.
Greg? That's Gregory.
Pardon me.
Okay.
Who does this for a living. And so you say, well, look, this guy is really good at what he does. I'm fine with him investing the money because I know it's not going anywhere. He has a loss adverse.
What if he doesn't want to do it?
Well, certainly he can reject it.
Okay.
But you also have backups and successors who you name. So if that person decides they don't want that's not the end of the world. If you run through that entire list of successor trustees, you can petition the court to appoint one at that point.
And then you'll have to pay for it, but it'll
likely
come out of the trust. And
there'll be a management fee more than likely. And a lot of times, if it's not overly involved, if there's not some massive amount of money management going on, the trustee will simply waive that compensation, you know, that they're entitled to. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times it is as simple as keeping that money in a checking account, and you're just waiting for someone to turn 15, turn 25, turn 30, and you say, well, look, I really don't have any real work to do here. Once the money's in the account, I just got to remember this guy's birthday and we're all right. So, you know, that's
just put a reminder in your phone.
That's it. That's it. So, you know, I'm sure you can do that for 5 years out, 10 years out. But that's some of the things that you don't see in a will. I should clarify that you can't do in a will. If you try to do things like that, like create those certain stages, essentially what that does is create a de facto trust. And so if you have that sort of language in your will, the court's going to say, okay, well, look, we have to open up a trust. That's essentially what the guy or the lady who's writing this wants us to do. That's what we're going to effectively have to do. And there's, you know, here's how we're going to go about it. So a trust is sort of a, for lack of a better word, it's sort of a luxury version of a will. It's not just meant to give you some more of the bells and whistles that you don't have on a will. They can actually be used in the case of a revocable trust. You can use it to bypass that entire succession process altogether. So, and that's, you know, that's always handy for couples, you know, folks who don't want their children to have to go through that process. A lot of times, a lot of my clients come in and say, hey, look, you know, we're married, been married for 25 years, 30 years. We have great children. Here's, you know, we're not going to do any stages or anything. They deserve the money. They're competent. They're financially responsible. But we just have gone through this succession process 4 times, my parents and then his parents. And we don't want to do that. We don't want our kids to have to do that once even.
Mm-hmm.
So can we use this as a vehicle to get around that? And yeah, you can. And so That's what a living trust can do for you, in addition to all of those various staging opportunities that you have.
All right, we're going to talk about some pitfalls of trust coming up in the next segment. We got 1 minute left here. I want to ask about some of the strings that you can be pulling from beyond the grave. That sounds like the funnest part of trust, and maybe the funnest part of estate planning law, is the weird things people have done with trust.
Yeah, and it really is. It can get weird. A lot of times it's more practical and useful than weird. But let's start with the sort of the disclaimer that anything that's not considered illegal or immoral can be used as a condition. So, you know, things, you obviously can't go out of bounds and you know, in the way of what you would mandate a child do or complete in order to receive, you know, in order to receive his inheritance. You know, you can't mandate, hey, you got to go steal a car and not get caught.
Right. No, like, see, I'm thinking really crazy stuff, though. If I have a pile of money, I'm going to set aside $50,000, $100,000, first kid to go see a football game in all 32 stadiums. That's yours. First kid to visit 10 different countries. It's yours. First kid to visit every continent, including Antarctica. Here's another pile of money. I mean, that's the kind of weird stuff I'm thinking about doing. You could do that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How come more people don't do that? I don't understand why people with money are not messing with their descendants more.
Because they love them, James.
This is fun. This is love. I'm giving them money. Wes Blanchard's in studio. He's a estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. Any questions? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How does divorce affect your Social Security payments?
With the traditional IRA, my mother died and she named my brother and I as beneficiaries.
Can I still contribute to a Roth IRA now that I'm retired?
I was just wondering if we should pay our mortgage off.
And I really enjoy y'all's program. It's very informative.
You made some money for me today.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRN. No.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
Yeah, well, real estate's a real personal thing to people. Everybody's pretty much involved in it one way or another. You know, a lot of times it's people that have investment properties that get additional income from the rentals.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We see what's coming, and I always tell people, look, we're not going to be shocked one day and it's all gone. We're going to see it coming. We're going to have some insight of it. And look, trouble's coming. I'm going to start running ahead of the rest of you. Remember, and I'm very public, you're going to see what I think, hear what's going on, and if you see me running, don't ask. Just start running, too. And then we're going to be good because we're going to have a heads up on what's coming. This government's not perfect, but hey, where else would you want to be? You want to be over in Russia right now, living there in that mess, or Greece? You know, we're kind of handling it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
your wallet's favorite show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Joining us in studio, Wes Blanchard. He is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. He will be making an appearance at our next live event, not this coming Wednesday, next Wednesday, March 15th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. What is Gregory Ricks Live? Gregory Ricks Live is if you're looking for a financial advisor, maybe you already have one, you're looking for a second opinion, maybe you're looking at getting in the game, maybe you're thinking about retirement and you're trying to do something with your nest egg, this is where you come meet us. Hear what we're all about. See what our philosophy is. See if it matches up with yours. I can't guarantee everyone's going to like us. In fact, I can guarantee not everyone's going to like us, and you shouldn't. Not every golf swing should have the same, or golf coach should be good for every golfer. So this is how it starts. You've been wanting to get on board. This is step one. Come on in. Meet us. See what we're all about. Talk to us. Shake our hand. Say hi. Look us eyeball to eyeball. And then when you're done, there's going to be a little bit of stake action. And then you just decide if you want to come in for a visit. No one's going to sell you anything. It's pretty easy there. Wes Blanchard will be there. You can ask him about trusts or anything else estate planning related. What's been your most common question as of late?
Generally speaking, it's oddly enough starts with successions. And so that's been a big topic of late. Either have one coming up or one that hasn't been done. So that's always sort of an opening topic for sure.
Back to trust.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, what you alluded to at the end of the break there, right before the break, was there are some downfalls with trusts. And you can't say without you can't not acknowledge the fact that there can be some complications. But with that said, those complications can be mitigated, if not altogether eliminated, if you plan correctly.
Aren't you kind of worried about some of the stories in the news turning people away from trust? Because it could be a very useful tool, but they see what's happened with Tom Benson.
Right.
And they're like, this seems like it's more trouble than it's worth. That doesn't look like the solution to anyone's problem. Looks like it actually created a problem.
Well, in his instance, it did. And obviously, that was a situation that didn't work out the way he anticipated it. And, you know, obviously, it's a very, very unfortunate situation that I think is being worked out, and so I was really happy to hear that over the last couple of weeks. But part of what got him in that situation was he used an irrevocable trust, and the reason he did that is because he qualified for federal estate taxes. Now, most people in this country are not going to.
All right, why does irrevocable trust, how is that different than a regular trust, and why does that matter?
Sure. So when you hold assets in an irrevocable trust, most of the time those trusts are going to be designed such that they remove those assets from your taxable estate. So in other words, you've set up an entity a lot like an LLC or business, that now that business or that LLC has its own tax identification number. It's, for tax purposes, looked at as its own person, and so thereby it owns its own property, and you no longer own it. So you're not subject to taxes on the property that it owns when you pass away. So that's a tool that's used for very wealthy clients who are going to zoom past that estate tax threshold that actually got bumped up to just under 5.5. I think it's 5.49 for 2017. So a married couple has just under $11 million of an exemption before you start to get taxed federally. Now, we know the Saints and the Pelicans alone are worth much, much more than that, not to mention some of the other assets that he owns. So
sure.
he utilized that trust in a very intelligent manner in order to avoid those taxes. Now, unfortunately, you know, he needed to make some changes to that irrevocable trust, and that caused some issues for him. And so that's why I was alluding to a little earlier that if you plan correctly, if you know, for instance, that you're not going to be subject to federal estate taxes because your estate is going to be below that threshold, then there's really likely not a need to use an irrevocable trust, and you can use a revocable trust. you can change the beneficiaries on that. You can change the distribution structures on that, and it wouldn't have to go through a court. It's a simple amendment. The same way you sign the trust initially, you can make that change subsequently if you're using a revocable trust as opposed to the irrevocable trust. That's just one of the pitfalls. And I think, you know, it's as unfortunate as it is, that's one that we've become a little more familiar with in this city. Again, that's being worked out from what I understand. And that's always amazing to hear because I think no matter what is said that Benson has his heart here, although he had a little brief soiree, I guess, with San Antonio. You know, he was pulled back here. And I think we're, you know, our economy certainly is all the better for it. So that aside, you're really looking at some of the pitfalls with trust. Some are overblown, you know, some are overblown. The management of a revocable trust is not going to be something that should deter you. You're really able to hold those assets and manage those assets the same way as you do today. Your ownership structure is just going to be retitled in the name of the trust. So you're not restricted in any way from some of the things that you could or could not do with your assets.
Does a revocable trust have its own tax ID number and is treated as its own entity?
So generally, it's not treated as its own entity. What it does is it assumes the tax ID number of its founders. So generally speaking, when you have a married couple, for instance, you would use one or the other's Social Security number. That's everybody's personal tax ID number, just Social Security number. So you would use one of those person's Social Security number as the quote-unquote tax ID number for that trust. But it's not looked at as a separate tax entity, and that's the reason that you're not going to get any sort of estate tax protection from a revocable trust. It's seen as a flow-through entity whose main purpose is to create a plan for the use of estate funds and to bypass the succession and probate process.
Well, we've had issues before with trust in the fact that not everything can be put in a trust, and the way it comes across this show a lot. An IRA cannot be actually owned by a trust. You can still use a trust with an IRA, but it has to be an IRA pass-through trust. I hope I'm using that term right, Gregory.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And so that's definitely one of the things that Gregory and I handle a lot is folks who want to try to use they want to designate oftentimes the beneficiary of the IRA as the trust. And you have to be careful when you do that, because if it's not done in a certain way, if certain language is not included in there, it can mandate a lump sum distribution, which is a massive taxable event. And so what you like to do is have it done professionally where those RMDs are sent out to the beneficiary year by year.
RMD, required minimum distribution.
You got it. And so that's an important point to bring up. But also looking, you know, while we're on that topic, it's very important to remember that a lot of these things that you have, the retirement vehicles, IRAs, 401ks, and certain annuities as well, are generally not going to be considered to be part of your estate. Okay, so if 75%, 80% of your entire estate is tied up in vehicles that aren't even going to go through the succession process, well, then a trust might not be for you. But if you have other assets that are going to be subject to succession, that's when you need to start thinking about it. And I really quick, and I know we're sort of pushing it here, but another important point to think about is real estate ownership in states other than Louisiana. A lot of my clients own real estate in Louisiana and in Mississippi and in Texas and in Arkansas. If you have that situation, you will have to go through a probate in each state in order to pass that particular property on. Mississippi is going to mandate that you open up a probate process in order to pass on that real estate located in Mississippi. But if you use a trust, you retitle that real estate into the name of the trust. Now, not only do you not have a probate process in Louisiana, you don't have one in Mississippi either. And so that really multiplies the savings and really not only time, but monetary expenses as well.
All right. I have another lawyer friend while we got 1 minute left here. We're going to go through the Latin glossary of terms, and you I know. Pop quiz. We're going to try and see if we can stump Wes here. Because I love some of the terms we use. Usufruct comes up all the time, right? Right. Latinized means use and fruits. What is nunc pro tunc? N-U-N-C-P-R-O-T-U-N-C. Three words. Nunc pro tunc.
Look, I gotta come clean. I've never taken a Latin class, so I got nowhere to start.
This is a legal term, though. Nunc pro tunc. It replies retroactively to an earlier ruling. Nunc pro tunc.
Nunc pro tunc.
And here's another one. I don't even know if I'm saying this one right because he emailed it to me. Per stirpes, S-T-I-R-P-E-S. What is that?
That means by head. So, in other words, when you pass on something to your kids. And you want it to be, quote-unquote, split evenly amongst your three kids, you would say per stirpes.
Stirpes? Yes. I was saying it wrong?
Yes.
All right. Learned something today. Also learned suspensive.
Yeah, there you go.
What is suspensive again? I already forgot it.
It doesn't come into effect until that condition happens.
There you go. All right. Wes Blanchard. Happens. He is our estate planning attorney, Total Wealth Authority. Good time. Thanks for coming out on the weekend there, Wes.
Yeah.
All right. More Winning at Life coming right up. Questions 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker.
Thank
Winning
you
at Life
for
Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates studio. This is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey there, it's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Coming up in this, the final hour of the show, we got to talk a little bit more about the Dow breaking 21,000. Also, we're going to go over some audio of Donald Trump and his speech to the joint session of Congress. We don't dare call it a State of the Union because you'll get corrected. It's sort of a pseudo State of the Union. But look, we skip all the political stuff. We skip all the social stuff. We focus on the financial world here on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, and that's all we're going to do. I do not want to get weighted into politics. I don't want anyone calling me horrible names. I don't want people yelling at me. Just saying. But as an example of how money brings us all together, and that's what we like about the show. Who doesn't like money? I like money. You like Angie? You like money?
I love money.
I remember Frito on the show. Idiocracy. He liked money too. I like money. Brings everyone together. The classic example is Milton Friedman's pencil. Did you ever see that video, Angie, with the Milton Friedman pencil, Gregory? Did y'all see that? Where he goes through and he explains how capitalism makes people who hate each other cooperate in ways that governments, rules, etiquette classes never could. At the time, the people who harvested the rubber on the pencil, their ideology tells them they would love to slaughter all the people that are cutting down the trees for the wood of the pencil. But they work together. Why? Because they're putting food on the family for the table, making money. And it's happening again. Mexico's has a big cement provider, Cemex Concretos. And the Cemex president, Rogelio Zambrano, told the newspaper when he was asked, dude, what if Donald Trump or what if America came to you and they said, hey, we'd like to buy some of your cement to build the wall on the border, he said, we would gladly do it. Kind of made waves in Mexico. What do you mean you'd gladly do it? He's like, look, that's what we do. I'm going to mix together some concrete. I'm going to go hand it off to this person in exchange for money. Whatever they do with it is their business. If they want to build a skyscraper, that's cool. If they want to put in an in-ground pool in their backyard, they can do that with it. If they want to build a wall on the southern border, it's not for us to judge. We are just here to make concrete, period, point blank, end of story. Plus, that'd be a pretty big contract. I'm sure there'd be a few million dollars to be had by Rogelio Zambrano if he got that contract. Look, Cemex is not a United States construction company. I'm just reading his quote. It is a company that produces materials for construction. To date, there are no technical details about said construction, and no one has sought us out to participate. If one of our clients asks us to quote materials, we have the responsibility to do so, but that does not imply that Cemex would participate in the construction. Like I said, we're just going to mix the concrete and hand it off. I just love seeing that. All right, let's do some of this audio here from the speech on Tuesday. Man, I realize we haven't had a show in a week, but this speech feels like it was 2 weeks ago. No, this was only like 4 days ago. Let's skip through the fluff, go right to the money stuff. I love cut one. I like the sound of this. Hit me.
Right now, American companies are taxed at one of the highest rates anywhere in the world. My economic team is developing historic tax reform that will reduce the tax rate on our companies so they can compete and thrive anywhere and with anyone.
Now, you know, we do the daily wrap, the broadcast Monday through Friday here. And on one of the broadcasts during the week, some guy on Scope popped up and he's like, yeah, but the corporations here in America don't really pay the highest tax rate in the world. Their effective tax rate is really about 27%, and that puts us as sort of the middle of the pack average for other countries. Maybe a little high, but it's definitely not the highest in the world. Yeah, I mean, that's only part of the issue, though. A lot of people do pay that 39% tax, and if you want to go ahead and average them in with someone like GE, who has a 0% effective tax rate, well, that's not really fair. There are corporations that are being hurt by this. It's not that all corporations are paying that 27%. Some people, maybe they have lobbyists, maybe they just get a better deal, maybe they're a solar company or some other preferred status. Their tax bill's lower. That doesn't mean other people aren't getting the screws at 39%. But also something we talked about that I thought was even more important on Wednesday's show, Gregory, is that corporate tax rate, the way it puts a wall around America and keeps capital out that's made outside of this country that would otherwise be repatriated and be swimming around our cash registers here.
Yeah, they need to modernize the thinking of how all that works, and so we can be competitive globally instead of penalized. It's a big task, but bring that money back would make a lot of difference.
What's the likelihood that we could get the corporate tax rate down, though? Because you don't have to look at what's smart.
They said they're going to lower it.
It's not very politically popular, though. You know, there's been a nice little spell of demonizing big evil corporations and paying their fair share. And it just...
Paying the fair share. What is the fair share? Because then the next president is going to have his version of the fair share. What is the fair share?
More, usually.
You know,
whatever it
the
is.
The high net worth, high end company. Oh, they're not paying their fair share. Well, 4 years ago, that president was about fixing it. So you're coming, are you upping it? Or is the fair share, are we too high above that? Are we lowering it? I hate when they just put those terms out there like we've never. I said that wrong. High income earners never pay their fair share. Let's see, what's the tax rate? About 43.5%. That doesn't include state taxes. So you're not far from 50. So giving up half everything you make's not fair.
And
how are we competitive?
I think you're making a great point on the fair share is never used at the people who pay zero. Fair share is always means when you're talking about someone, it should be paid more. And it's a clever use of the phrase, too, because if you're arguing against it, then what are you arguing for? Unfairness? I mean, of course not, but that's what the verbiage leads the disinterested
party to believe. They just throw it out there and nothing ever really changes. But what about the person not paying any tax? Is that fair? I'd say not. No matter how they're receiving income, no matter what that level of income is. Now, you go taking this. Now, what are they taking away? We're going to reduce the tax rates pretty much across the board.
So they'll take away some deductions?
That's got to be what it is. Where, what does that mean? It's like we're heading more towards a flat tax. When you think about it, I think a flat tax is more fair than having GE figure out how to have zero tax. Everything, they should pay some tax, but they shouldn't be. It shouldn't be at a level that makes them uncompetitive. Because really, what we want that money is to pass down to investors to be taxed, the dividends to be taxed, employees to be taxed, receiving that revenue. And if they're going to have retained earnings, it should be taxed at a level as well if it's not completely paid out. We need to get and to where they don't have to go overseas and do a workaround. Let's kind of make that work so we get more of this money being reinvested in the country is the bottom line. But I don't think I'm so different from you thinking that everybody, regardless of how you're receiving income, should pay some tax, not less than 50% of the taxpayers paying a tax.
I absolutely agree with that.
I mean, less than half the 1040s that are filed, there's tax being paid.
And when you look at it like that, there's really only about 27 to 32% of the country that's paying in to the income tax system. Really, that's fair?
Yeah, and it shows that it's not working. That's why we have 20-plus trillion in deficits. The system doesn't work. We'll one day run out of money.
Now, I learned something here. Speaking of taxes and being competitive across foreign markets, cut two here. Harley Davidson has a unique tax situation that I was not aware of until Tuesday.
At our meeting, I asked them, how are you doing? How is business? They said that it's good. I asked them further, how are you doing with other countries, mainly international sales? They told me without even complaining, because they have been so mistreated for so long that they've become used to it, that it's very hard to do business with other countries because they tax our goods at such a high rate. They said that in the case of another country, they tax their motorcycles at 100%. They weren't even asking for a change, but I am. I believe.
Yeah, that kind of makes it tough to compete, Gregory. 100% tax on your product if it crosses this invisible line into a new market. You think you could get a break for Harley Davidson in some of these other countries? Because you know what happened if you're in Belize or Guatemala or some other banana republic. Some guy who makes or sells motorcycles there petitions some corrupt government official, probably bribed him, said, let's put 100% tax on Harleys so they don't have to compete with them. Can that be undone? Can Trump help?
The administration can help. It just, they haven't done that. I'm sure we have bad deals. Deals that favor. It's just, and if you're thinking, well, how do you know that? Because all the jobs are leaving. The factories are leaving. Stuff's made overseas. Why isn't there a more level playing field on that? We need that to work. So one of the ways you get there to compete is, okay, let's get fair tax going on that kind of represents what's going on globally.
I'll be cheering for him if he can get that solved. It's like the carrier deal. Remember when that was announced that they're going to keep 3,000 jobs here or whatever after Trump called them? And someone asked the CEO of Carrier, it's like, well, what did Trump do different than Obama did when he called you? He goes, Obama never called us.
He picked up the phone and called.
Yeah, he just making the effort did it. Maybe just making the effort to call this other country, to call like the Netherlands or wherever this crazy tax is. Hey, can you do something? I'd be really interested to see if he
pulls
that
off. Well, if you're going to do that to one of our big companies, then what's on the other part of that conversation is, we're going to relook at some of the things we're doing with you. Now, do you want to go there?
You want to have a tax war, a trade war?
I think we have pretty good leverage.
All right, now that's
for any of those conversations.
It's a couple of things I like. We're going to get to three of the things that we didn't like from the speech coming up in the next segment. If you have any comments, questions, financial situations, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. One Prozac
a day. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. James Parker here. That app is your financial lifeline. Maybe you have a 401k at the old job. Maybe you've just been offered a pension buyout. Maybe you're getting close to retirement. Maybe you just inherited some money. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You're just one touch away from calling the office, setting an appointment, sending us a text message, and getting your financial future under control. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Download it in your app store. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
By placing all of your property in that trust, you don't necessarily own that. And so they don't need to come in and sign off on a review of your will. By setting up the trust, you avoid that entire process.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Have you set up a survivor or legacy plan? How are your assets looking long range? Do you have a plan if you move on how your assets are going to be managed? How are your assets going to move on to your beneficiaries or your spouse? Do you have a plan for that? And one of the things working with a financial advisor, if they have something like we do, the Total Wealth Authority, and we think it's something to work hand in hand with an estate planning attorney to make sure the assets are managed right and that they flow right, you may be able to get some help from a financial advisor if you do not have an estate or legacy plan.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey.
We keep an eye on your money and update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Remember sometimes, but you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. I got my hands in my pockets.
Welcome back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Happy Saturday. How you doing? I'm your co-host, James Parker. The phone number, if you have any questions, comments, commentary, 504-260-0995. Before the end of the show, though, Gregory, I'm going to try and hit up this list. If you don't hear it before the end of the show, tune in on Monday's Daily Wrap. 10 new reasons you have to quit your job in 2017. And the new reasons means it's sort of taking a tech look forward. Hopefully we can get to that for the end of the show. No promises, though, because if we have a couple of good calls, I'll be happy to punt that story in order to get you some help. Back to Donald Trump's speech. Our president addressed a joint session of Congress. Whether or not you thought he looked very presidential, there's some meat on the bones of this speech, and we're taking the filter and just getting the financial stuff out of here. We talked about a couple of things we liked in the previous segment. Here's a few things that rubbed me the wrong way. Cut three, producer Angie. I do not like this infrastructure talk. This sounds familiar and not in a good way.
Another Republican president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, initiated the last truly great national infrastructure program, the building of the interstate highway system. The time has come for a new program of national rebuilding.
I don't like the sound of that.
We keep hearing that. Obama was really big on it, but what was money spent for real? What was rebuilt? How is this going to be different? So it's going back. We always hear that. We're going to upgrade the roads, the bridges. They're coming apart. We're going to fix all that, fix the dams. Was it done? Okay, so we're finally going. It hasn't been done. So we're really doing it this time. That's what I hope to see is let's give us a list. Let's see what's done. What are we spending money on? Is it, you know, we're bringing back jobs. We're creating jobs. We're going to rebuild the infrastructure. Okay, let's see what jobs has it done. I'm wanting to know the look back and how is this going to be done going forward.
Well, and I'm not against all infrastructure spending.
Or is, is this some black ops thing where they spending money somewhere else and we don't ever see it? You know, I'm looking for more.
There's two ways I would be in favor of a plan like this. Number one, if it wasn't deficit spending. We spent $1 trillion in the original stimulus 8 years ago that we didn't have. We were already running deficits. So to add spending to that means it all goes on a credit card, which makes it a horrible idea. But if we had money, not new money that we have to tax and accumulate, but through the normal tax system, if we had $100 billion a year extra that's just sitting in the government's bank account, not doing anything, literally taken out of the system, okay, then if we're going to spend that money, I would be okay with it. That's step one. Step number two is how it's spent. The federal government doesn't get to choose which roads and bridges are rebuilt or which pipeline is rebuilt or whatever. It gets block granted to the states, and they choose how it's spent. Their federal government should not control, have a say-so over this bridge more so than Louisiana does or the
Is it on federal highway or state highway?
I don't know. Any of them.
There's your difference.
Any of them. I don't think there should be federal highways. I think there should be federal highways on military bases or federally administered territories like Guam or the Marshall Islands. But if it's in a state, that should be that state's bridge. I know that's not the way the world works now. I'm just saying that's what it would take for me to support a massive stimulus infrastructure spending project. Mm. For one thing, it's not stimulus if you have to borrow the money. You're rearranging that money from somewhere else.
Oh, I agree, and that's part of why we put somebody else in that's not a politician to look at all aspects of this. I would hate for him to go and do what the others do, is just keep spending borrowed money. I know they really haven't addressed it, but that's something that has to be fixed. So is there a lot of waste? There has to be. A lot.
Oh, tons. Well, look, stimulus spending that FDR did not get us out of the Depression. Stimulus spending that the previous president didn't even get us to 1 year of 3% GDP growth, something we actually did have under the Great Depression. Why do we still tolerate talks of more stimulus spending like that? Cut four.
To launch our national rebuilding, I will be asking Congress to approve legislation that produces a $1 trillion investment in infrastructure of the United States, financed through both public and private capital, creating millions of new jobs.
You know, the job rate. Oh, there's more? Yeah, there's more. I know.
This effort will be guided by two core principles: Buy American and Hire American.
I don't like that core principle right there, Gregory. Hire American's fine. Buy American, why, if you can get it ragingly cheaper from outside the country?
I can go along with it, and I could spend a little bit more because it's bringing jobs that pay taxes, that creates a domino effect. They go buy a car, truck, add on to the house, buy a house, buy clothes for the kids, save in a 401k. There's a much bigger picture to the domino effect, the chain of events from build it with Americans, build it with materials that are produced here in America. It goes back to the whole restructuring in this. That's always the answer is, oh, it's cheaper. Well, why is it cheaper? Is it just the government subsidizing it where it's coming from? Been way too much of that, which kills our jobs. If they're taking a longer-term view that corrupt country that steals from us our technology and jobs and everything. So if we're looking at it on a short term, well, it saves us money now. They're looking at it, if we keep doing that to them, that industry over there goes away and it becomes us now. And we've had too much of that going on for too long, and the playing field needs to be leveled. And if they can't justify how they produce it at a cheap level, and we know that it's government subsidy to make that industry go away. The rare earth mining, do we have it going on here now?
It stops.
It stopped.
Yeah.
Where is it now? Who produces most of the rare earth materials on the planet?
Is it China or Russia?
China.
Because both of them got quite a bit.
Yeah. And we kind of need it pretty bad.
All right. One more thing I didn't like, because this is something that sounds more like it should come from Bernie Sanders than the guy who's heading the Republican Party. Cut five. Paid family leave, huh?
Silence.
My administration wants to work with members of both parties to make child care accessible and affordable, to help ensure new parents that they have paid family leave.
I'm not against people offering paid family leave, but if you mandate paid family leave at the federal level and say all employers have to give their employees paid family leave, that doesn't mean everybody gets paid family leave. If you own your own business, you get paid family leave?
I do not.
If you're a contractor out there, if you're an Uber driver, you get paid family leave?
No.
What if you're a guy who pours concrete for yourself and you just go job to job, get 1099'd everywhere, you get paid family leave?
But if you hire somebody, that person, you have to pay them while they're not there.
An added expense.
Yeah.
So
how long can your business survive?
It makes it harder. I'm not saying it can't survive. It does make it harder, though, doesn't it?
What we do is we have a disability program. I think I solely fund that, but if somebody's on family leave, it's paid out through the disability. Is it 100% replacement? No, but they get money coming in.
Just the whole point, like the best way for you to break out and become a millionaire, billionaire, or even be just financially successful is to be a business owner, to do your own thing. And it's got to start somewhere. So you've got to be, most people have to be self-employed.
I'd just let companies do that if they can afford to and want those type of perks to keep employees, more power to them. That's part of this. This is capitalism. Free markets, and if you want to be more competitive with keeping your employees, you should be the one deciding that it's not mandated. Just my thoughts.
So many of these incentives, you know, everything that comes through your employer, that's incentive for you to stay working for some other company and not for you to start your own. It stops new business creation, new job creation. People just, you'd rather be in someone else's system.
It'd be mandating the flexibility that I have with employees, that I'm real flexible. They need the time off here to do something with the kids. I need to, hey, they're having a school play. Can I run over there at lunchtime to do that? Oh, the kids are sick. Can I go take it? I'm going to be late. The kids are sick. You know, what if that was all mandated? Then they'd have certain rules, and I'm pretty much a yes man on that flexibility. Hey, sometimes it's them going on a job interview. Oh, yeah, I got to take my kids to the doctor. Found that out too. But what do? Be flexible. That's why they like working for me.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
How can we create a financial tool that gives returns like bonds, also has an upside, and when interest rates go up, that gets melded into it as well? You do not have interest rate risk. You do not have credit risk. You don't have default risk. And all the money's in actual reserves not being spent elsewhere, and that's using a fixed annuity. Then you come back and say, well, I'm not really liking that because I have to lock my money up. The way we structure it, that's a myth. You have surrender provisions, but whenever I build something, I always kind of look for what are my benefits and what are my exits.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You're looking to expand your family, aren't you? Might be a little extra hair around the house, some vet bills, a little extra noise, but it's totally worth it. Do the right thing. Don't buy. Adopt. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Biloxi, Kismet Pet Adoptions will help you expand your family. KismetPetAdoptions.com. K-I-S-M-E-T PetAdoptions.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One thing, you definitely should accelerate your payments. It makes a big difference by just making an extra 2 payments a year, because that's one thing we'd like to retire is that mortgage when they retire. Boom, you've added cushion.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hi, James. Hi, Mr. Ricks. I love your show every day. I have a question on IRA.
Hi, I want to state first, I'm a big fan of your show. There's a ton of knowledge you guys give out, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I listen to you guys as often as I can, and thank you very much for your advice, Gregory, okay. And I'll be calling your office. Thank you so much.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5, WRNO.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A response to President Trump's accusations when he tweeted this morning.
Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory.
Fox's Kristen Fisher at Mar-a-Lago with a statement from a spokesman to President Obama.
A cardinal rule of the Obama administration was that no White House official ever interfered with any independent investigation led by the Justice Department. As part of that practice, neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false.
And there's been a terrorism arrest in New York where prosecutors say a man repeatedly traveled to the Middle East to try and join ISIS. The 26-year-old held without bail. He told authorities he'd been prepared to sacrifice himself for jihad. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Tell me what you want to hear. Something that'll light those ears.
Music for your wallet's ears. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. Weekly wrap. Unbelievable. Oh, 7 years. A few months. Be 7 years doing this. Started with a little old show back at 9 o'clock. Now 3 hours. Live financial talk radio. Weekend. We do it on Saturday. I take Sundays off. Mm-hmm. And we do a weeknight show at 7 o'clock as well. Here to give you insight to what's going on from a very broad view, like how does the present administration and the changes affect your money? Well, one thing we know, this market has truly been on a run. My look is, yeah, it probably goes to 24,000. Wall Street Week, they were, one of the guys on it was, pretty certain it's going to 23,000. I think he said by Labor Day.
Oh, was that last night?
Yeah.
I'll get that pulled for Monday morning. I recorded it.
Yeah. And okay. But I still think it goes to 24. I don't know if we get there this year. All that's kind of hard, but, you know, I fully expect us too far out not to see that. Does that mean next year? I would probably say certainly next year. My take on 401ks is you probably should be at least have 50% of it at work if you're going to be there, say, year and a half or more. Longer. If you're within a year and a half, year and a half of retirement or less, I wouldn't be fully invested. And sometimes your numbers are fine. We just don't want you to have any downside there. As this continues, may want to get more and more invested. From what we're doing with our strategies, we're looking and hunting and buying value as we go. We're not trying to, if somebody brings assets over, we're not instantly filling the portfolio up. We never do that, but we start buying what we are holding, maybe added to that, and adding continued selection. The market's really at high levels. It's virtually every few days it's setting another record. If not daily, the past 24 days been unbelievable amount of low volatility. The VIX is under 11 bucks, just unbelievably low. It shows nobody's hedging, because that's what the VIX tells you. They're going and buying options to hedge this thing downturning, and confidence of this continuing is really high. That's simply what it tells you. So, you know, Trump train is running. So my standpoint, I said, yeah, where we've been conservative doesn't mean we're not conservative, but we're buying and getting value and watching most good selections go up in value. Everybody has to make a decision. This kind of tells you my view of how we're seeing things. You should seek advice, get guidance, and maybe look at how you look at the money that, yeah, I want to get invested. A client was in yesterday. He says, you know, I can't remember. He didn't say get more aggressive, but it came down to he was suggesting to take more exposure to risk, get away from, say, short duration treasuries and bonds, and let's move some more towards equities, growth, and, you know, just get the full spread. So we're making that adjustment for him. But is it increasing his risk that much? Not really. It's just kind of full spread of, say, number of strategies that we have, equity growth, growth in income, low volatility, treasury bond strategy, ETF sector. And yes, he has fixed indexed annuities in the mix. Why? Because we treat those as bond-like or income-like, so he can grow money or grow income-generating ability without negative exposure. So that creates balance when you look at everything as a whole. And he was just like, can we get a little bit more of an edge?
So what if you're not balanced? What if some guy comes into you and he has quite a bit of money, but it is all in equities? I mean, how do you set him up an income plan off of that? Do you have to take some of that out the market and maybe put it into an annuity or some sort of fixed tool?
We generate income from equities.
How do you do that? Just sell off pieces of it, or the less performing?
We're always shifting money. Basically, we do separate managed accounts. Each strategy is in a separate account, so it's making income or growing or has increase in share value. As we're needing to move that money to that income separate account, we shift assets. Maybe, you know, one sense, if you're looking at the line, the income account number's up there, then you have equity growth, growth in income, such as that. We can shift money. We can send distributions from annuities over to the managed account. So it depends on the structuring, what the client's wanting to do. I've got, you know, a client yesterday that came in, wanted to put $35,000 in a 3.1% 5-year CD. One of the questions is suitability going to allow us to do that? She has a lot of money in annuities, high percentage of assets. But that's where she's totally comfortable. The thing we're going to make sure of is, she does she have adequate liquidity and ability to stream income as well?
What are some of the suitability concerns there?
Liquidity. It comes down to liquidity.
Like 50-50, you need half your money liquid? Or
gentleman came in, quite a bit of money, I'll define it like that. And essentially, we put half of it in fixed annuities. Why? He doesn't want risk. He doesn't need much exposure, but he understands the balance that we can't get everything at no risk. But we can, the Wall Street version of that can be really conservative. And then he's using fixed index on the other side to generate bond-like and pension-like money for the future. And he has, with the firm that he's retired from, one heck of a pension as well. So that's, and he's got some more assets coming over as well. But it's creating, that's where you're creating that balance there.
So you can do it just if you have a pile of stocks and you want to keep it a pile of stocks and like, dude, this thing's going up. It's already, it's been doing so well. Why would I want to take it off the table?
Yeah, we have come on a portfolio meeting, which means they have became a client. Assets are coming over and we're going to go back through it in a portfolio meeting. Look at all their positions. Have a discussion. What's working? What's not? Or if it's something they're like adamant, I want to keep Union Pacific Railroad stock. I got it from my great granny. You know, the whole thing there. Okay. Is there a number that would become uncomfortable in it moving down? You know, it might be something like having, yeah, I've got all this Amazon. I want to keep it. Well, what's your uncle point? I mean, pain threshold. Like, it's down 6%. Does that make you lose sleep? So what we're wanting to do is find out, because what I'd like to do is set stop losses on assets that have came over that we're overseeing there, so that this doesn't go the wrong way for him. Now, and that's could we'll do with assets that we see, you know what, we like this, it's doing well, let's continue this. These other pieces here, let's move away from them because they're floundering. So those assets we're wanting to keep, we'd like to do stop losses, which would include individual securities and ETFs. Mutual funds you can't, bonds you can't. So we still have that monitoring that we do, and we actively watch everything. But it's just when you go through that, you're wanting to have that discussion so this doesn't get forgotten or goes bad.
What do you do in lieu of a stop loss on mutual funds and bonds for that matter? I realize you can't have a point where it crosses this, let's get out, because you got to wait till the end of the market day and there's all kinds of other.
We have a system to monitor it.
Just, it's not nearly as fluid, is it? No. I had no idea before I worked
ultimately,
on this show.
Ultimately, we would like to, and look, here's one thing I will say, the market dictates things, whether it's a correction or sectors going out of favor. It will shift that portfolio to more of what fits our system over time and works better.
All right, coming up in the last segment here, if you have a financial situation, you call now. Get set up, 504-260-0995. We're going to visit an interesting piece of audio from Wall Street Week. Daniel Skelly, who is Morgan Stanley's wealth management executive, he gives us one move that they're going to be making this year. It sparked an interesting discussion during the week on the Daily Wrap version of Winning at Life. We're going to expound on that coming up next. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We've got a map of callers, where they call from around the country, and it's really surprising how the audience and this show has grown. Thank you to all of you that are listening through the radio in your car or at home or on the stream through the iHeartRadio app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
Every time I ask it, how many homeowners are in the audience? It's 100%, let's say 90% to be safe. But then when I say how many are in their retirement home, you go down to 10, 20%.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Speaking with somebody the other day, I said, how's that car repair coming? It's not ready yet, but I've got a bigger problem. I've got to come up with the $500 on the deductible. Yeah, that's running things pretty tight, isn't it? You know what? A lot of people do that. It's where we talk about, I've got to start saving money for retirement. I've got to put some money away. What do you have? Well, I don't have anything yet, but I'm wanting to get started. How much savings do you have? Well, I don't really have any savings. We're going to start with savings, because the last thing you need is to say, put that money into securities or a safe money tool, and all of a sudden you're needing to go grab that money, and it might be expensive to go pull it back out.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You've been saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, weekly wrap. Kind of become scam central here, looking up. Had a client send over. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We're here a few more minutes. If you have a financial situation, call us. This is live Financial Talk Radio, 504-260-0995. Susan sent an email with a copy of a letter from, looks like, Walmart, Inc. This is what we talked about, where this other Mega Millions just has chintzy work.
Listening did not hear us talk about the other check. All right. So we had a client come in with a scam, and when we looked at the email, it was pretty obvious for those of us who look at these things on a regular basis where some of the pitfalls were, even though it slipped past the client. Not a big deal. Happens to all of us, and you should know this stuff. You don't look at all this all the time. This one looks a little more difficult, though. We got, was this an email during the show? And this check and this delivery system looks a little more thorough and planned out. These are much better, more detail-oriented scammers.
Yeah, one of the things I just looked at is, was the check perforated? It shows, when I blow it up, it shows the perforations on top of it. And then James brought up about the routing numbers to check that as well. But it looks like, look, there's a letter and it sends you to a mall monitoring website, kind of like Secret or Mystery Shopper. They instruct you to deposit the, and she said when you go to the site, they give you a list of vendors and stuff, and a couple of them is wiring firms in the list of well-known companies. And the instructions are, and this is a check for $1,995.33. Susan said the signature on the check is a Walmart corporate signature, so she's done some research into this, but the instructions tell you to hold back $350 when you deposit the check. And she's certain that if you continue the process, they're going to tell you to send that $350 somewhere. So when the check doesn't clear, that $350 you kept out is going to go against your funds in the account. Because the bank's not going to eat the $350 that you held back, and you supposedly have sent that somewhere else. And my comment was, this is very good work they're doing, and it's more intricate to get the scam to work other than, hey, if you want this job, send me $350, and I'll do the setup.
What's the routing number there? It says it's Wachovia Bank, right?
Yeah, Wachovia Bank out of Charlotte, and it's got Walmart Inc. over in Bentonville. Got a whole bunch of other, you know, got a SEQ number, and then there's some number on the right side. They've got a big check. Yeah, the check number,
all right, we
vendor
got some,
number.
All right, there are a couple issues here. Wachovia doesn't exist anymore. It got absorbed by Wells Fargo, so when I try and look up...
Oh, good point.
Yeah, when I try and look up the routing number and
there's
see...
There's no Wachovia Bank.
No, they only have one routing number still that applies to them for some reason. Minnesota held on to theirs,
so
and it doesn't even match
that. Is that a Wells? Who bought them? You said Wells?
Wells Fargo acquired them.
Was that a Wells routing number?
That big long thing on the right was the accounting number. That little... All right, let me look up Wells Fargo then. But that check says Wachovia.
It does.
So why wouldn't it say Wells?
It's a new issued check, so why wouldn't it say Wells if that's who they're using?
Boy, they're making it tough, huh? We're turning into a catch me if you can over here. Hang on, let me see if there's a Wells routing number. All right, they got one of these in every state, so this may take a second. And they are all wildly different. Actually, they all start with either a 1, 2, or a 0. No, there's a 3. Does that match it so far? We'll have to do a little more investigative work. To the phones we go. Gary and Marrero, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to find out more about a program called 29F.
Are you referring to 26F?
26F. Okay.
Turn off that radio in the background, Gary. I just heard me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
It's not going to be affected by the DOL rule coming forward. And, yeah, I've been waiting for your call on this, actually, because basically it's a drip system for putting money in mutual funds. Mutual funds aren't going to go away. They're wanting to sell you a newsletter, whoever's put this out to you. There is piped as some secret money-building system that's going to go away April 11th or something. Is that what you're seeing there?
Yeah, Gary? April 10th.
April 10th. Well, it kind of coincides with DOL. And DOL's not making mutual funds go away, but it probably is going to affect the expensive ones. It's also kind of like, James, that group IRA that we talked about as well. But it's about systematically investing in mutual funds, and they're giving you certain mutual funds that should be better, and it goes back to them selling a newsletter. So this isn't some dark secret thing that's going away that I'm letting you in on before it goes away.
Yeah.
26F actually is a code in the United States code book that refers to life insurance.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, little Ed Slot guidance over here says run.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the things I was going to quote as well to them. But tell them what Ed Slott, just give them, it's about a few sentences.
Yeah, a quick Google search shows he's being hyped by a few common sites. They're using the new fiduciary rule to spread this. They do not give any details on what these so-called retirement plans really are. There's no new retirement plans enacted recently. U.S. Code 26F refers to life insurance. This is basically life insurance. It's probably one of the bank-on-yourself schemes, which you've covered on the show before, yeah. Gregory. Most likely just a way to sell whole, permanent, expensive insurance contracts, run in all caps, very fast and far away.
Yeah, so stay away from this.
Glad you called us, though, Gary.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did some reading up a couple weeks ago. Haven't brought it up. Almost one of the shows I almost did, I said, I'll wait for Gary. I knew somebody was going to be calling soon.
Cool.
Because it had already crossed my radar.
All right. Let's talk about a very interesting observation that was made on Wall Street Week. The guest on Wall Street Week, his name's Daniel Skelly. He is the Morgan Stanley Wealth Management Executive Director. And they were asking him all kinds of questions about what do you see the market doing coming up. And he was sort of vague. And the host kind of got a little frustrated. Can we just nail you down on one thing, dude? Daniel, tell me one thing.